half of We the People Radio on April 30th, 2023. Just in case we replay this, which I'm sure we will. Good information. So, how about sponsorship, Bill? I think it's... Okay, hold on. I'm going to be like... it's not the Amazing Kreskin. Who was the guy who used to... You know, Johnny Carson used to hold the paper to his forehead?
That's right. What was his name?
Yeah, I forgot his name. Karnak.
Karnak.
He was Karnak. Okay, yeah. Karnak thinks this might be about tractors.
Tractors.
Mm.
That's amazing, Aaron. I can't believe you pulled that off. Our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape has everything you need for a John Deere, or if you have another brand tractor, they're pretty good at getting parts and doing service on those as well. So go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, right, two doors south of Phil's Propeller. So go up and check them out. They got a great inventory right now. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And I do have to give the viewers a visual of what Bill is dressed in today. He's wearing John Deere clothing. He has a green top on with the John Deere logo. And he has knickers on. Wow. Actual knickers, right? And he's got one of those golf hats. You know those golf hats you see all the guys wear? They're like the old-fashioned hot rodders hats.
That's I wish you hadn't done that. It really sounded like, hi, my name's Bill. I'm a he, him, and I'm wearing knickers with a green shirt.
Oh, my God.
I love radio. We can lie about anything as long as, you know, they can't see it.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You're fired. Officer Joe's fired again. Oh, dear. All right, so back to Carolyn. So we're talking about activism in the kind of the pushback on this, what do we call it, the tidal wave of
We are not going to call it activism. We're going to call it realism.
Yeah, but we like activism. Activism's good. You know, good guys are active, right? Because the choice of not being active is being passive. And that's what's happening in a lot of cases. I mean, that's what we're hearing about our health departments, our schools, our superintendents, a lot of our neighbors.
Well, and I think
it doesn't affect me. I'm not going to get involved. Blah, blah, blah.
And the schools, I really believe they feel like we shouldn't go there because then we'd have to admit there's a problem. And we don't want to admit that there's a problem.
So it's better not to talk about it?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, I get that with the state.
Or that we're encouraging it amongst our youth.
Oh, well, states that have legalized this and embraced this as a, you know, fake revenue source that they think is going to save them, they can't admit there's a problem because if they admit it's unleashing a crime wave or any of that, well, that blows their whole narrative.
Well, look at California.
But I would think in a local community, you'd think you'd be able to get some buy-in from people who... especially when their job involves the youth of our community.
And why do business owners, when they talk about having a cannabis store next door, the business owners that are around that going like, yeah, I don't want that next to me because I don't want my customers dealing with that. You go to the dispensaries here in Redding, you sit outside on the street, and you literally watch the driving under the influence drivers drive out of there every time you sit there. When I go and I sit and I do some surveillance on them, that's what I see. I see drunk drivers going out of there all the time.
Drugged.
Well, yeah, drugged and drunk. They use both.
Wow. Remember,
And property values go down. Let's not forget property values, because now the studies are showing that when you put a dispensary in a community, that Kathy, I think it's 1.5 to like 2 miles around that. They can draw a circle around that, and they can show that it depresses the values because people don't want to move in that community because of all the things that come from that. People, you know... Walking down the street.
I did not know that. That makes perfect sense.
Look at the downtown, our downtown area. It's protected. You cannot put a pot shop in the downtown area.
Really?
Yep. They have their own bubble.
Oh, that's right. They do have their own thing. Huh. Well, that's kind of illuminating.
And there used to be.
So, so Carolyn, your vantage point from Southern California is pretty interesting because I think most people would think beach community, that would probably be a popular thing. Have you been able to keep that out of your community, like, still? Is it still not not a factor?
Well, our hope is that because the vote was so clearly a no, whatever it was, it ended up at 72, or I'd have to look at the number, that hopefully they got the message. And we're just so small. We've got one main street kind of that runs through our town. So hopefully not, but it's just like Amy said, if they come back, we're coming back. And I think our city council doesn't want me and Heidi sitting in those meetings until 1 o'clock in the morning giving them a stink eye. So maybe we intimidated them enough where they just don't want to
wait you out. They're like, somebody offer this lady a job or something, you know, in some other community. Let's get her to move.
Do not piss off a mom. The mad moms of SoCal. Do not make them angry.
Yeah. Well, so that being said, we should let Heidi join you, since you guys have been partners in crime. If you want to hang with Heidi, you can all be on at the same time. It shouldn't mess up our signal or anything. We might talk over each other a teeny bit, but we'll get over it. So Heidi Swan, I've got a little bio on her too. Actually, hers is kind of long. I won't read the whole thing, but
you don't have to read it all.
I was already having, I had my my editor eyes on, and I was going to tell people too. We did a show with you previous, so we did a couple hours with you at an earlier date. But you were on Dr. Phil back in 2022 and 23 with an episode about marijuana legalization. So you've kind of hit the big time. Like it was probably because of our show, actually. It was probably after you were on here. You've been on Fox and NBCLA and discussing the work to educate the public about mental health harms in marijuana. She believes it's crucial to the public that they understand the link between THC and mental illness, and is especially passionate about today's high concentrates of THC and the impact on our homeless crisis. And I had something else that I saw later in your bio, but I'll find it and bring it up later. But you've been active in this for how long now?
I published the book in 2017, A Night in Jail, and in 2017 I hadn't heard of high concentrate marijuana products. I'll never forget when somebody said it to me. They said, "Oh yeah, well this will be really important to get this book out with these highly concentrated products." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And the friend said, "Oh, well, you haven't heard? Oh, they make these products that are several times, 90% THC, 80% THC. I was like, "What? Are you serious?" I mean, I couldn't believe it. So A Night in Jail was written about the old-fashioned marijuana, because I thought that's the marijuana we were talking about today when we were talking about legalization today. I thought it was the same old pot, the pot that gave me psychosis, that gave my brother schizophrenia, we think, and so I thought we were warning the public about that. And so when I found out about the high concentrated products, I was like, it really propelled me forward, because at that point I was just finishing the book. It was exhausting writing it and then publishing it and doing all the things that you need to do to get it out. It's a lot of work, and I was really tired, but this really galvanized me, because I knew how much more important it would be to get this out into the public and to get the message out in any way that I could. And so since 2017, and that's when I first reached out to Mom Strong, which is from California, as you know, in Ventura County, and they embraced me and put my work out and published articles on their site that I wrote. And so that was really great. And as we were talking, Aaron and Bill and Cam and Kathy, thank you all for having me on again, because it was when I was on your show that I was first introduced to Carolyn Petty. And I remember telling Carolyn, saying, "Hey, I'm actually going to be on the radio on Sunday." And she was like, "Oh, that's cool." And we hadn't met yet, actually. We were just, still texting back and forth. And then we had our first meeting, and I was able to talk to her about what was coming through our city, and she hadn't been aware of it at that time. So Yeah, so I've been working on this for a while, and I was just so freaked out about the cannabis industry coming to the South Bay, because they hit four cities pretty much all at the same time, and we're all right next to each other, and we're all just south of the Los Angeles airport. So they hit El Segundo, Manhattan, Hermosa, Redondo, and they blanketed us, and I just knew what a machine they were, and that I didn't know of any activists or advocates in the South Bay, none. And I was like, who's going to fight these people? Who's going to fight this rich industry? And I was like, me?
That's how it's calling out to you.
Big marijuana. I was overwhelmed. I mean, it was really super, super, super stressful. And I got on, I should say, I got on Dr. Phil because of our friends, because of the people we know, like Officer Joe and Americans Against the Legalization of Marijuana. That's how, because somebody called me up, one of our friends, Scott Chipman, who is one of the founders of Americans Against the Legalization of Marijuana. He was invited as a guest on the show, and he said, hey, they need somebody in the studio audience who's really passionate on this interest, on this issue. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yes, I do. I do want to be on Dr. Phil in the audience. And that's how I got on. So,
I was thinking, we talked to you not very long ago, but I just checked. It was October of 2021.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a long time ago. We've been obsessing on this topic for quite some time.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me on. And we talked all about A Night in Jail, the book that I wrote with my brother. And I am really concerned about homelessness. And that's why I wrote the book in the first place, is because I couldn't bear to see these people suffering with homelessness, especially in California and Washington State, where I'm from, and Oregon. And if marijuana is, as you've heard many times on this show, especially youth marijuana use increases the risk for psychosis, and continued use can increase the risk for schizophrenia, the long-term mental illness. And if we want to prevent homelessness, we have to prevent addiction in any way we can. We have to prevent mental illness if we can, in any way we can. We have to be speaking about what these drugs do to our brains, especially the brains of our youth. I mean, it is astounding to me, and I understand it. There is a lot of money behind legalizing drugs, but we are literally feeding them our youth. I can't believe that we're not telling people what can happen to their brains. Now, it doesn't happen to everyone. The marijuana and mental illness, psychosis and schizophrenia, there are a certain number of us, a certain percentage of us, it's like a little over 10% of the population that's predisposed to mental illness. That's me and my brother. And a little marijuana can trigger a psychotic episode. Most people would not be affected by that small amount of marijuana. But with today's high-potency products, the things that people are vaping, the products that people are dabbing, those are causing psychosis in people who have no predisposition to mental illness, like Laura Stack, who you had on just a month or so ago. They didn't have any predisposition to mental illness in their family, and yet her son Johnny became addicted and went psychotic and died by suicide. I mean, it's just, and she was on Dr. Phil as well. That's what the show was centered around, her story and the increased risk to suicide.
Well, and the interesting thing I think that we have to look at when we talk about youth development and their brains is when you say, you know, less than 10% of the population has the psychosis or is affected by it, but that 10% can cause the greatest damage. We look at these school shootings and these random acts of violence that are just exploding.
Maybe not as random as
And how can we not look at this and look at what we're doing to our kids?
Well, tell me this, Heidi. Did you become involved in this issue? I don't want to assume, but I'm assuming you became involved in this issue because of your brother.
Yes.
Okay. And so, Carolyn, did you become involved in this because of interaction with someone in your world or just the issue in general, just out of curiosity?
Just because I care about my community.
Okay.
I didn't think this was good for our community.
Can
I interject something, Erin, here? So as Carolyn said, she was on the city council when California voted to legalize marijuana, and then she was on the city council that voted to ban it in our community. And I was preparing for a different presentation that Carolyn and I gave just a couple days ago where we were talking about this, and I looked up, I did a search, and I found a quote from 2017 from our local paper that quoted Carolyn Petty. And Carolyn said that legal marijuana shops would be a magnet for crime. And she knew that in 2017. And that really is what ended up being, as she said earlier, the message of our campaign. It was what really resonated with folks. So she knew it in 2017, and we emphasized it again in the campaign against them. And there is no data to show that it's safe for a community, that it doesn't increase crime. All the data shows that it does, and it increases youth use, and it increases crime. And so there is plenty of it to go around. So if anybody is facing this in their own community, talk about crime, because it sure as heck increases. And we did a lot of research on it, and I'd like to send people to nopotshops.com. And there is a whole bunch of research there about the harms to a community. And it, like Officer Joe said, increase in hospitalization, in emergency room visits, increase in youth use, and increase in pot shop crimes. And so we just had, actually, in Manhattan Beach, there is a jewelry store that was...
Hold that thought, and we'll come back with that. We have to take a really quick break, but the crime part of it, and a lot of people are not very conversant in that, so I think this is really important that we give them the tools so they can utilize that as a pushback. We will be right back.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
Mama always told me that I should play nice, but she didn't know you and she gave me that advice.
That's the part where we never have to do shows about this anymore because everyone figured it out. That's the dream song.
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
In our imaginary world, we'll be done. We could talk about other things, huh? Like, I don't know, going on vacation, being happy, hanging out with their families. Yeah, all that. So in the meantime, we're going to talk more about marijuana. But what I was curious about with the crime, both of you, because you both mentioned crime as the kind of the primary driver. Okay, so you live in a town. You really don't know a whole lot about crime. You don't work in the industry of any of this. You really have no personal experience with it. You think it's wrong. You don't know anybody else who really is all that passionate about it. You want to go to city council and speak up. And you're thinking, I go do that, I'm getting eviscerated. And I think that's what keeps people from speaking out. Mm-hmm. I think that silences people. So if you had somebody brand new who didn't live in your town, you couldn't go help them. I don't know which of you wants to go first, but what would be your advice to them to how to kind of get on the on-ramp of the anti-marijuana freeway?
I'll just jump in. Like I said, have them go to nopotshops.com. The website exists, and it has information about the harms to a community
with legal marijuana.
And so, and then we give 10 reasons for why it's harmful to a community, and one of them is the increase in crime. And on the increase in crime page, there is a whole bunch of data that comes from smart approaches to marijuana, one chance to grow up, Americans against legalization of marijuana. Just I sourced all the data that was out there and kind of threw it in there. And one of the other things that I know that you've talked about on this show is impaired driving. And impaired driving is a crime. And so that falls under this category as well. And so, and additionally, as Dr. Phil Drum has described, you know, marijuana-impaired drivers are more likely to kill pedestrians, bicyclists, joggers. And we are a walking, biking community. People are always heading out down to the beach with their kids in strollers, toddlers walking to school. And to know, to have a pot shop in town and have impaired drivers plowing through our tiny, dense community would be really hazardous. We already have impaired drivers in our community, but it would just get worse. And so those are just some of them. And then, so I was telling you about pot shop crimes, smash and grabs. Those are unique to the marijuana industry. Now, we have a jewelry shop in Manhattan Beach, the city just north of us, that had a smash and grab recently, and then they were hit again. And so I could compare it to that and say, look, you want to invite a smash and grab opportunity into our community? And one of our city council people who I spoke with individually about this before it really everything really got going, and I said, what about smash and grabs? He said, oh, I think, you know, the increase in tax will cover any extra cost in crime. And I was like, are you serious?
Kathy,
I mean,
said just exploded.
People die at smash and grabs. People, they kill the security guards, they kill the workers, they drive away, and they're, in, you know, who are they going to kill as they're driving away? We've got kids on electric bikes all over our community. I couldn't believe that he said that. And so that is one thing that you can avoid in your town if you don't have legal retail. And, yeah, they've been hit again and again in Northern California, in Washington State, in Oregon. And then we beat the drum so hard here in Hermosa Beach about it that, and I'll give a lot of credit to our city council, they ordered an independent report on crime and the other impacts. And the report said that youth use would go up, and that nuisance-related crime would go up. That's what the data shows. And that our city, our police department wasn't equipped to handle the extra crime. Mm. And that was really helpful to us in our campaign. And I honestly, I have not heard of any other city council in our country, and I'm connected with people nationally, and I haven't heard of any other city council that had ordered an independent report like this on this topic. And so I just have to give a big kudos to them for doing so.
Nice. So rather
one thing, if I could just add one thing,
please,
because
do.
You were talking about, you were asking the question about people being afraid to go to city council meetings. We actually found a group of people, and we focused, because you need to build a team if you want to fight a ballot measure. Mm-hmm. And we found people who lived in close proximity to Pacific Coast Highway, which is the area that would have been zoned. And so we literally, Heidi and I and a few other people, literally made up flyers saying, this is coming your way, get involved. And we put up a zoning map, and we literally stapled it to the telephone poles, put it on doorsteps of people's houses, saying, this is coming your way, and then asked people to help us. And that's how we were able to form a team.
Educate, educate, educate.
Yep. Throw the hook out. And the other thing is, too, I think once people see that there are other people like them that are interested, that maybe are not big experts, they're just people who care, then it might look a little more doable.
Well, I believe in every community, there is a silent majority. I mean, they are people that do care, but they're intimidated and they're afraid to speak out. But they will back you, but they won't come forward and back you.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lot more people out there than we all realize,
right,
that just, like you say, either don't want to be intimidated, don't want to, you know, put their name out there, mm-hmm, or afraid, don't know how to get involved.
Right. Well, the thing I hear a lot is that they don't have the information. They feel like they're not experts, and that, you know, one question and their tent will fold. And Carolyn, on your city council, were the people on your city council very well versed in this issue, or did they become? I mean, like, if somebody would have come in, like, let's say you had folks on your city council at the time who were in favor, were they really up to speed on the issue at that time, or did that come later?
I think they got their education from their meetings with cannabis players, people in the industry.
Yeah,
and it's just
course.
Like Heidi was just saying, you know, to think that she had a conversation with the council member and that was his response to her. So the answer is no, I don't believe they had information. And I think that when that report came back, and like Heidi said, it was great they did that report and city manager commissioned the report, I don't know if they expected what they got with that report.
I know that when I first met Heidi, Aaron, I showed her. I said, "Look, this is where your marijuana is going to come from, because it's a city, right? They're not growing marijuana on the beach there." And so I said, "Watch the marijuana that's coming out of Northern California and see what's on it, and that's what's going to be in your dispensaries. It will flow into there." And Heidi talked to me, and she had me appear in front of their city council by Zoom. And thank you, Heidi, for allowing us to do that. We've gotten a lot better since then, haven't we? We're not putting together amateur productions anymore. We're now the experts, and these cities are depending on voices like ours to come and give them the information, because the experts in the industry, so-called experts, they're not going to show any of the harms. They're only going to show
dollars.
Yeah. And the linkage, I guess, between people around the country in this fight is really pretty extensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the odds of a community being able to find somebody to come and help them, or even get on a conference call with them and give them pointers and tips, that's pretty readily available.
Right.
And we've watched as it's marched across the United States, and we're getting a lot of people from the East Coast now, and I know Heidi talks to them, and I'm sure Carol does too, that go like, well, how can this happen? This can't happen in our community. And we go, oh, it absolutely will happen in your community, and this is what will happen unless you use a playbook of people that have been down this road before. And Heidi, what was it like when you and Carolyn, I mean, literally take us back to your first day. What was it like when you went in front of the city council the first time for you? Because, you know, Carolyn had been a politician, and that's no slam on you, Carolyn. We're happy to have you be a politician. Matter of fact, I want you to come to Reading. We want you to run for mayor of Reading.
We want to elect you.
But what was it like, Heidi? Here you are, a mom, and, you know, you're all of a sudden you're stepping in front of a city council going like, yeah, this is an issue. What was it like?
First of all, I want to thank you, because we had a cannabis advisory group that was formed. Our city manager appointed people to it, and I was appointed, and I was so grateful for that. And we had 3-hour meetings. We had 6 of them, and where we were exchanging or getting information about what would happen to our community if legal cannabis came in. And I asked Officer Joe to please come, and he couldn't get a slot to like educate, spend 10 minutes and be on the roster. But he was allowed to come in as a public comment. And so he had to wait. He sat there. He was so, I mean, and this is what I really appreciate about you, Officer Joe, and Aaron, and Kathy, and Bill, and all the people in our network, that they will, you know, wait and go the extra lengths to help other people who are having issues in their community and are trying to defeat something in their community. And I just want to say thank you so much. And actually, and I'm going to say here too, they recorded the advisory group meetings, the Hermosa Beach Cannabis Advisory Group meetings. And there was a man from Costa Mesa or Irvine, I can't remember which, about an hour south of where we live. And they were bringing marijuana up on his city council, and so he started doing some searches online, and he found our advisory group meeting posted, and he was watching it, and he saw Officer Joe's presentation, and he was so blown away by it, he sent it out to activists in his community and to the city council, and this was all in one day, and he got all of these activists together, and they came in. And they all said, no, you are not even going to bring this in here. And they got it taken off the agenda. And so,
a secret weapon.
You know, you just don't know how far your work is going to spread. And so that is the impact that Officer Joe had. And I'm really grateful because it was all about, like you said, the illegal grows. And we were able to say we're supposedly a healthy community that cares about the environment, that cares about health, and we're going to support an industry that's decimating our environment, using up all this water that's tied to the illicit market. Seriously, we have to be opposed to this. We can't be neutral. We have to be opposed. And so it was really helpful to have your video showing the data and the actual visuals.
I do remember the last scene of that video was a surfer in the ocean and looking out at over a clean ocean, and it was such a juxtaposition from that to what marijuana does to the environment, and showing what is in illegal marijuana and legal marijuana.
They're
one in the same, right? And so Heidi, and Carolyn, what's in there for the future down there? What do you see? What's going on? You have you're now experts in the field. You're both savvy politically. What's coming down the road?
Well, we hope that they got the message and they've moved on to other things. That's what we hope. But in the state of California, it doesn't take much to get something on the ballot.
No.
I mean, that's the bottom line. 10 to 15% of registered voters. It just doesn't take much. But we just hope that they've moved on somewhere else, because they spent all that money. It was a resounding no. And I don't know what they think would be different next time around.
How about the drumbeat of psychedelics? Are you seeing that at all? You know, LSD and mushrooms, either of you.
I mean, I think it's just in the world now. I mean, it's on Netflix, all these, you know, great programs about how beneficial shrooms will be, you know, and how therapeutic it is, and it's just mind-boggling. And I talk to the people who mention how, you know, oh, have you heard about this? It's supposed to be really helpful for people with depression. And I'm like, okay,
here we go
do
again.
You know?
Yeah.
Hold on,
here we go again.
We
have to take a quick break. We got to come back so we can ruminate on mushrooms. I was going to play a song from Willy Wonka. I should have left it. I want it now. I want the whole world. You know that whole thing? Yeah. But instead, I switched it because I was thinking Officer Joe needed his own special song. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
You call me strong, you call me weak, but still your secrets I will keep. Took for granted all the times I never let you down. You stumbled in and bumped your head. If not for me, then you'd be dead. I picked you up, put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there? I hope.
This is Officer Joe with your marijuana safety message. Did you know that the marketing of marijuana is a misogynistic and racist activity? That's right. Most marijuana corporations are owned and controlled by rich, fat cat white corporate types, and most dispensaries are placed into depressed communities of color. These communities can least afford the chains of drug addiction and corporate greed. For more information about marijuana, please visit sources like ALM, Americans Against Legalizing Marijuana, at www.aalm.info. And remember, let's be careful out there.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant. With just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling, choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
Because that's the whole point.
Aaron, I have a short story.
You have a short story?
I have a short story.
Are you O. Henry?
Well, it has to do with psychedelics, okay? And it takes me back to my youth, and no, not me. But my godfather lived next to Ken Kesey.
Oh,
and so he was
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And all the and the Merry Pranksters. And so they were high all the time, and they were high on LSD.
Explains a lot.
That's when they were fully, you know, really experimenting with it. And my godfather was retired Air Force and very conservative, and he didn't like having all these crazy guys running around his woods at night. So he would sit on his porch, his beautiful country porch, and this is in New York State, and all these hippies, and I was one when I was a kid, just so you know, all these hippies would be running around in the middle of the night, and it bothered him as he would sit there drinking his mint juleps. And about the fourth or fifth mint julep, he decided he would take out his .45.
I was just going to say, when did the pot shots begin?
and in the middle of the night, there would be these screams coming out of the woods. Now, he never shot anybody, but it was
according to family legend.
According to family legend, it was. So that's been around for a long time, and it's the psychedelics that are so dangerous. And I wonder about the psychiatrists and psychologists that I read about now that are embracing, oh, this new treatment, we can use psychedelics on our patients. And I'm just thinking, what is going on with our society? We can't even keep our kids on track, and now we want to get people high on mushrooms and everything else out there. Okay,
it's,
over to you, Aaron.
It's cruel.
Sure. It's cruel.
Know,
it is.
I mean, one of the things, I was speaking with a group of L.A. County youth, high school students, and some college students about 10 days ago, and I did a presentation showing them that we know about the mental health harms of THC, and the FDA provides it on the warning package insert that comes with prescription THC that we've had since 1985, and it says hallucinations, paranoia, vomiting, other things. Our Surgeon General warned about this in 2019. He warned about psychosis, schizophrenia, suicide. The state of Colorado has an educational resource which talks about all the mental health effects. The state of Connecticut warns its users about psychosis, anxiety, and suicide, I'm pretty sure. And Canada has provided information to their consumers about anxiety and that it can worsen mental health. And they used to they used to warn about psychosis and schizophrenia in 2018 and 2019, but they stopped saying that specifically. And in the United Kingdom, they have the first ever cannabis psychosis clinic. And so I showed all this to the youth, and I'm saying, so this is out there. And the question is, why haven't you heard it in California? It's not right. And we had a bill in our state last year, SB 1097, to put mental health warnings on THC packages. And I know what our legislature heard because I was a volunteer in between the victims and the sponsor of this bill. And so I know all the personal stories of impaired driving fatalities, of psychosis, and of suicide and homelessness brought on by their use of THC. And our legislature allowed the industry to pressure them so much that the bill was pulled. And when I told these kids, they just said, it makes me feel like people don't care about us as human beings, that they wouldn't just tell us this can happen. And two of them said that at their school, the people said, the administrators or the teachers said, we will lose federal funding, or we're afraid we're going to lose federal funding if we talk about marijuana, so we're not going to talk about it, period.
You know, Heidi, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring in my fellow sister, Kathy Grindstaff, and as you and Carol have partnered together, and when you do that, you become, you know, omnipotent and much more powerful when you have a partner to help you. And Kathy, when you two were both relaying your stories today, I literally looked to my right and I said, well, that's Kathy. That's Kathy. So I'd like to introduce Kathy and have her speak a little bit today, too. Kathy?
Well, I don't.
Kathy's just our sidekick all the time.
I know. But and I'll sit here and I'll start crying, but because I know because I really do believe in the youth of our community. These are our future, and how can we not stand up and speak for them? How can we not do this and admit this is such a failure?
It's crazy dangerous. Yeah. What a ridiculous experiment.
I mean, we have all the science, we have all the data, we have all the facts. And you just stand up there before the Board of Supervisors or the city councils, and you just want to go, what the are you guys doing? Like, really, what are you doing?
Especially when they tout that they like to work with youth and that they, we get that out of our supervisors, and then they take money from the collectives, and you're going like, really?
I'm going to just briefly, my son was killed by a drunk driver, so... And my belief from the whole experience was, I can't change it. I can't bring him back. But you know what? Something good has to come from that. And so whether it is being an activist or speaking on behalf of our kids, that is what I'm going to do because that is something good. I can make a difference. And whatever it is, I want to make a difference for our kids. They deserve it.
Yeah. I think sometimes the word activism gets a bad name because people think of angry people burning down stores or, you know, throwing rocks through windows or whatever. But really good activism is about
educating.
It's about advocacy and education. And it isn't about being angry. Frankly, I don't think anybody performs better when they're angry. I think they lose all of their credit. You lose your credibility. You make bad decisions. You don't think well on your feet. And so when the opposition comes, you're not prepared to take them down because you're angry. You know, you have to be pretty well balanced to be a good activist if you want to be successful there.
Right.
And I think people who are working on conservative causes, I think this would fall under conservative causes for the most part, they can operate in that space. But they can't operate in the, you know, angry... screaming Mimi space, and I think sometimes that's what people think you have to do.
No,
you don't.
Mm-mm.
That's actually how you lose.
No, you got to keep a level head, a level voice. You got to state your facts, and be able to back everything up.
Yeah, use the tools that you're good at. If you're good at speaking, speak. If you're not, show video. If you're not good at either of those, find some other people who know how to speak. I mean, there's a place for everybody in this.
Yeah, and Officer Joe and I have been doing this for so long. It's it's crazy. And I remember when we first started going before the Board of Supervisors and speaking, is he just felt like we weren't getting any attention or we weren't making a difference. But here we are, how many years later, and we are making a difference.
But it took 50 victims and going and investigating their marijuana complaints and bringing them in front of the Board of Supervisors and having them tell their stories, their heartfelt stories of being victimized by marijuana growers, having their fences torn down, their homes broken into, all of their generators, even their water systems stolen by growers.
Well, some people, their property. I mean, they weren't able to property. Access their
right.
property
That's
for
right.
years.
That's right.
Right. Which... Right. But, you know, if the marijuana industry can go to our leaders and so easily convince them to bring this into their communities with a few dollars, then why can't we go before our city leaders and bring our youth in and go, why? Why would you choose dollars over our
and
kids?
And it's not an experiment you can turn on and turn off, as Carolyn pointed out.
Nope.
Once you let that in.
Once you open that barn door.
That go away.
And the time that we did bring our youth in, they were targeted with violence and threats by the marijuana folks.
Yep.
And that's why we can't bring them in front of our board, our city council or boards anymore. It might be different in Southern California. Maybe all of you down there could get away with it. We can't do it here because they'll follow you home.
What is the pushback down in your neck of the woods, ladies?
So I just want to bring up one thing about medicine that I don't mean to do a left turn here, but we had spoken about how the industry will say we're coming into your community to bring medicine to your community. And some of the people in our community said, oh, I have a friend or a neighbor who uses marijuana for cancer, and so we should legalize it somehow, so don't demonize marijuana. And I just want to counter that with, when you talk with people from the industry and you say, oh, really? Well, what's the percentage of THC of your products? Tell us. And what are the side effects, if this is medicine, of your products? They don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, one of the big proponents for legal marijuana in the South Bay was doing a presentation for our advisory group. And I said... And I questioned him about the potency. I said, what's the potency that has been studied, that has shown that it has any medicinal benefits? And he said, I don't know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. And I'm like, yes, I am going to tell you. And it's nothing over 10%. And Dr. Libby Stout has been on your show and talked about this. And so the industry people themselves have no idea what they're talking about.
Nope.
And then one of the backers of these initiatives and measures was quoted as saying, I'm not going for sainthood. When it comes to winning licenses, this is blood sport.
Wow.
And so it's very clear, this is not about compassionate medicine. This is not about somebody with cancer needing a little bit of marijuana to get through their nausea.
Yeah.
No, this is blood sport, and that's why they came to our community with $250,000 almost.
Yep. Yeah, see, that tells you everything. When you're willing to spend that kind of money, when you actually have that available to you, that's pretty crazy. Even the pharmaceutical industry doesn't come loaded.
Oh, yeah, they make that back in a month. I mean, there's so much money involved in that business that they can just throw it around. I mean...
We are,
and they do.
We're into the last minute, so we're not out of time, which I'm gonna ruin my record here. We're not actually out of time, but I thought, hey, just for once in a great while, we would actually thank everyone for being on rather than just cut them off at the pass.
Thank you.
I really want to thank all of you guys for all of the work that you're doing and for inspiring all of the other people who want to get involved but maybe don't know how. Don't feel like they have the resources or don't think it's a problem yet. If they don't think it's a problem yet, we have a program for you too. Bunches of them. So please utilize the resources that we have available. So we have been chatting with Carolyn Petty, Heidi Anderson Swan, and Kathy Grindstaff, and Officer Joe and Amy Hawley. And we really appreciate you guys and gotta thank you.
Thank you.
You can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us. Only heaven knows.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.